Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah, if you will, this morning. Jeremiah chapter number 23 is where we will be speaking from this morning, hearing God's word. And I'm excited this morning because I have gone completely digital for notes, and it's going to help me out a lot better. So I did that for one reason this morning, because we ran out of ink out of our printer. So that's the direction I decided to go this morning. So with that being said, let's have a word of prayer, and I'm going to do something a little bit different today. Can I do something a little bit different? Yes. So, thank you. Appreciate your permission. I'm going to ask Sterling if Sterling would read the first 10 verses, and I'm going to ask Christopher, would you be willing to read the next 10 verses after that, the book of Jeremiah? And I believe we go down through verse number 40. And then, Q, would you read verses 21 through verse 30? And then I will close it out the rest of the chapter. So, Sterling, if you could stand up. You can grab a mic if you want everybody to hear you. That'd be great, too.
Who hath marked his word and heard it? given a grievous whirlwind that shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall be returned unto he have executed, until he have formed Lazarus' heart. In the later days he shall consider the perfectly.
I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil ways and from the evil of their doings. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do not I feel heaven and earth, says the Lord? I have heard what the prophet said. They prophesied lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the hearts of the prophets that prophesied lies, prophecy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the seed of their own hearts, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is a shaft to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rocks in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against these prophets, saith the Lord. They steal my words, every one, from his neighbor.
Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. And when this people, or the prophet, or priest, shall ask thee, saying, what is the burden of the Lord? Thou shalt then say unto them, what burden? I will even forsake you, saith the Lord. And as for the prophet, and the priest, and the people that all say the burden of the Lord, I will even punish that man and his house. Thus shall ye say every one to his neighbor, and every one to his brother, what hath the Lord answered, and what hath the Lord spoken? And the burden of the Lord shall ye mention no more, for every man's word shall be his burden, for ye perverted the words of the living God, of the Lord of hosts our God. Thus shalt thou say to the prophet, what hath the Lord answered thee? And what hath the Lord spoken? But since ye say the burden of the Lord, therefore thus saith the Lord, because ye say this word, the burden of the Lord, and I have sent unto you, saying, ye shall not say the burden of the Lord. Therefore, behold, I, even I, will utterly forget you, and I will forsake you in the city that I forgave you, that I gave you and your fathers, and cast you out of my presence. And I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you, and perpetual shame which shall not be forgotten. Let's pray before we go any further into the study of God's word here. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you for the men who stood up and read your word. Lord, it's encouraging to hear other voices read your word. And so, Lord, today I pray that you just bless. I pray that you would use me this morning. I pray that you'd bestow your, once again, your wisdom and your knowledge upon me this morning as we go through your word. And Lord, we ask that through it all that you would be glorified and our lives would be better for it. And we ask it in your name. Amen. Now, what I didn't tell these three men is that they got to explain their verses that they read this morning. You all fell in for that one. So you got your first 10 verses. No, I wouldn't do that to you this morning. But anyway, the things that I want to look at here this morning are, I'm going to give you 4 points, if I could. The first point we're going to look at unfaithful rulers. The second one, we're going to look at hope for the future. The third one, we're going to look at a broken heart. Then the fourth one, we're going to look at God is near. And so let's go back and go over these first ones, if we could. So we're going to look at the unfaithful rulers, as it says here in verse number 1. It says, woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Now, I had to do a lot of questioning on this one because we've been studying Jeremiah now for almost a year. And the thing that I have come familiar with is Jeremiah is the only preacher. Are you guys come familiar with that at that point, this point in time? Jeremiah is the only preacher. And so I begin to think, well, what's this pastor word being thrown in here for? Well, you can look in the pastor is not only a pastor of a church, but is also a leader of a country. You can consider it kings, you can consider it senators, congressmen, things of that nature. And so these folks here is what God is talking about here. It says, the pastors that destroy and scatter sheep and the pastures, saith the Lord. And so we're looking at these unfaithful rulers. We're not looking at the unfaithfulness of Jeremiah at this time, because we realize that Jeremiah is the only pastor. He's the only one that's been steadfast. He's the only one that has been going to God's people preaching his word. And so that automatically leads us to this one here. And so he is the only teacher. And I want to say this, first of all, I'm thankful for teachers, no matter what comes at them, the ones that stand for God. No matter how hard it can be at times, because it can be hard at times standing for God. It should be easy, but we allow our pride to get in the way. We allow other things to get in the way, and sometimes it can become hard. And we realize, without a doubt, going through Jeremiah up to chapter number 23, we've read some things about him. Well, what's the one thing that I can remember is Jeremiah is forbidden to marry. That's got to be kind of tough. Most men that I know desire to have a wife. The second thing that I notice about Jeremiah is he's not allowed to have children. I have joy in watching my daughter grow up. It's been a fun experience for me from the day that she was born to the day where she's at right now. It's just been a great experience. It's been a joy in my life. Jeremiah has not yet to experience these things because God has forbidden him for these things. We learn this for one reason, because of all the destruction that's coming upon these people. Really, basically, protecting Jeremiah, his family, so to say, from the future deaths that would take place. And he was saving and sparing them from that. And so he is the only teacher, he is the only preacher at this time. And so this is in reference to the rulers. Now, what we need to understand with these rulers at this point in time is they have not walked with God. Jeremiah does not have his friend that was with him. I believe it, if I'm wrong here, because his name might be slipping me, I think it's Josiah. If I'm wrong, someone please let me know. But now he's not having any other godly influence with him from these rulers. And so these rulers have been unfaithful to God. These rulers have been ones who have scattered the flock. And that's what it's saying in verse number 1. They scattered the flock. And they did evil unto the people. What did we learn about Coaniah last week? What did he do? He gained his wealth off of other individuals. He gained his wealth off of the poor. And, you know, realistically and honestly, that is still going in on our world today. We have politicians that, it's amazing, I'm baffled by this. They go in there as poor politicians, and they come out in the first 2 years, they're millionaires. I don't get those things. And I've come to realize how they get that is because they live off of the poor. They're getting their riches off of the poor. And so they have done evil unto the people. And we see here in verse number 2, it says, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evils of your doing, saith the Lord." So we see here that because of the unfaithfulness of the rulers at the time, God is going to bring judgment upon them. That's just the fact of the matter. I'm amazed at the judgment that goes on in the Old Testament. It has to happen, because when you're living a lifestyle that's not righteous and is not pleasing to God, what's going to take place? You're going to be chastised. That's just the fact of the matter. And that's how life is. And so because of this, the Lord will judge them. And I hate to be in their boots. I really would. I would hate to be in their boots, to be judged for scattering the flock of the people. One thing that I've come to realize and understand, anybody who gives out God's word needs to make sure they're giving God's word out. I said this, I think, last week or the week before. Not to be placing our opinions or our thoughts, because we're held accountable for what we are teaching to God's people. And so the last thing that I would want to do is have anything come out of my mouth that would cause this flock to be scattered. And so we have to be careful when we're going through God's word and we're trying to teach God's word. And so here we see, because of their evilness that has come upon them at this point in time, of them scattering the flock, God's going to judge them. And one of the things that I get out of these first two verses is we shouldn't be putting our trust in any politician. You know, unfortunately, it seems like every 2 years we go through a cycle, and we have politicians come our way, and they boost themselves up, and, "Hey, you can trust me." The fact of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, we cannot trust any politician. That's the fact of the matter. And they have their own agenda. They have their own ideas that they want to do. And so God here is telling us, hey, don't put your trust in any politician. Don't put your trust in any leader. Put your trust in me. We need to put our trust, and we need to put our hope, and we need to put our faith in God. What do we see in Scripture? When man puts their eyes upon man, what happens? Man fails them. When we put our eyes upon God, does God fail us? No, it is us who fails God. God never fails us. And again, it goes back in Scripture. God will never leave us nor forsake us. Does God leave us? No, His Word promises that He will. But what do? We leave, we forsake. No different than these people that we've been learning about for these last half year or so. They have left God. They left Him. God chose them. And God gave them a land of riches. God gave them a land of wealth. And they decided, you know what, God, your ways aren't the ways that I want to go right now, and so I'm going to go this direction. And that's, unfortunately, the direction of many men's path in their life. And so what we need to see here is put your faith, put your trust in God. And man, they can only guarantee us just a little, well, they can't even guarantee us anything. They like to put themselves upon a pedestal, act as if they can deliver any promise that they throw out there. But the fact of the matter is, man will fail us. And so here we see the unfaithful rulers here in verses number 1 through verse number 20, verse number 2. Again, this is going back to chapter number 22, where it's talking about Coniah and what he has done. And so now we're going to shift here just a little bit in verse number 3, because we're going to see a little bit of light for these folks. And I need to explain this very carefully. It says in verse number 3, it says, "And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase." Verse number 4 is a key verse here. It says, "And I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them, and they shall feed no more, fear no more." There is a difference right now comparing verse number 2 or verse number 1 to the pastors that they're talking about here. Now they're referred to as shepherds. Again, what did we end with last week? Who is the good shepherd? Jesus. Who is the great shepherd? Jesus. Who is the only shepherd? Jesus. Who is the chief shepherd? It's Jesus. All those words, shepherd, is capitalized S. Remember, I emphasized that last week. Here we see here, "I will set up shepherds," meaning little shepherds. We can't put ourselves on the same level as God. We cannot do that. And that's why, again, God did not call Jehoiakim by his real name. He called him Coniah. And so he was distancing himself from Coniah at this time. And so now we see that God is going to set up shepherds over them. And now look at this here. It says, "Which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord." And so now we see here, after through some of this doom and gloom, we see some hope for the future for these folks. And so here's what I want to emphasize to you right now. Of course, this does not happen until the rapture of the church. This will not take place until then. This is a future event that is being talked about. Remember, we're dealing with some prophecies here. And so this prophecy here has not yet been fulfilled, because we're still here this morning. Amen? Or we should say, well, we'd like to be in heaven this morning. But the rapture of the church has not taken place, and so therefore they haven't been restored. And so, but here's what will happen when the rapture of the church will take place, when God comes back for us. It says in verse number 4, says, "I will set up shepherds over them, and shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, they shall not be lacking, saith the Lord." Here's what's going to take place in their life at this point in time. They will be gathered back to their land. Now remember, there's Jews all over this country now, and there's going to be a remnant that God is going to gather them back to their land. And here's a promise that's going to be given to them as they are gathered back to their land. It's just like, think about this. When you go on vacation, it's nice to go on vacation, isn't it? It's nice to go see other places. It's always fun to see those things. Here in a month or so, about 3 weeks, my family and I, we're going to take off and we're going to see my brother. And one of the favorite places that I like to drive through is Tennessee. There's a place on the eastern side of Nashville. You're just going through some pretty terrain of the Smoky Mountains there, and it's very beautiful. And I really enjoy the scenery. At the same time, I'm have a death grip on my steering wheel because I just don't like the sharp drop-offs, and I kind of get nervous on those things. But it's different driving through the daytime. At nighttime, you don't really see those things, but the daytime, it kind of bothers me. But as you go away and you experience that time away of just getting away, what is the one thing that we normally look forward to? Coming home. Coming home, because there's no place like home. Don't click your heels three times, because you're not going to go to home from here. But there's no place like home. And so these folks, as they're being talked, being gathered back to their land, they're going to come home. And as they come home, what is the thing that needs to be done when you've been gone away? You got to do some work. You got to do some work. A friend of mine, he's been on vacation for a couple of weeks. He went to the Dominican Republic. I work with him. He says, "Hey, could you take care of my yard for me?" I said, "Sure, I'll do that for you." And if I didn't, what would he have to do? He would have to be restoring his lawn that has been neglected for 2 weeks. So there has been some neglect that has taken place here, and because of that, they will be restored again. That is a promise from God. They will be restored again. And then the third thing that I see here taking place, again, is verse number 4. It says, "I will set up shepherds." God will set over these people godly men. And amen to that. We need godly men in our lives. We need godly men to be able to decipher the scriptures and to be able to tell us what scriptures means. And so this is what's going to take place for them. They're going to have shepherds set over them, and they're going to feed them. And I believe when it's talking about the word feed here, and it's talking about the word shepherd, it's talking about God's flock, I believe it's referring to feeding them the Word of God. There's nothing like being fed the Word of God. And I hope you take advantage of the Bible that you have, because there are many countries that their people are not allowed to have Bibles. They're not even allowed to gather in place of worship. Matter of fact, there's many churches that gather underground for fear of their government, because if they find out, they might come in and they might kill them. They might imprison them. And so I hope you take advantage of having some time with God, allowing God to feed you from His Word. And so godly men will be set over them. I'm going to take the time to just mention something here. I believe when it talks about godly men here, folks, and I'm going to say this towards the end of this as well, we need to be careful who we're listening to and who we're watching. We need to be careful to who we're listening to and who we're watching to. And I'll explain this here in a little bit, but I'm just throwing that out there ahead of time. So godly men will set over them. And then verse number 5, it says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise up David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness." So we're talking about here a future king that is going to come upon the scene. And class, who is that? Thank you. It is Jesus that is being talked about here. Now, one thing that I want to camp on is just for a little bit. God promised them a king from the lineage of David. One of the things that we just learned about in chapter number 22 is a man, Coniah. Coniah is from the lineage of David. What do we see with God in chapter number 22? God sets himself apart from this man. So we know, because of the evilness of this man, that the lineage was not going to come through him. So the lineage is going to come through another son of David, and that son is going to be Nathan. And from Nathan is going to come the lineage which Mary will come from, and from Mary we have Jesus Christ. Those are important things for us to understand. It's just we need to understand the lineage that Jesus comes from. And so he's going to set up a king over them. The lineage is going to come from David. It's not going to be from the lineage of the Coniah. It's going to be from his other son, Nathan. And the king will come from him. And this will be who will be, Mary will be given birth to him. So we see here the hope for them for the future. So we have unfaithful rulers. We have a hope for the future. And then we're going to take a slide back, it seems like, in verse number 9. We're going to see a different change of heart. We're seeing the pastors, the rulers, they're going to be judged. Now we're talking about a bright future for them. That's after the rapture of the church. The land's going to be restored. And now we're going to see another thing take place here, and that is in verse number 9. And that is where I get my third point from this morning, that is a broken heart. It says, "My heart within me is broken. Because of the prophets, all my bones shake. I am like a drunken man, and like a man whom wine hath overcome because of the Lord, and because of the words of his holiness." Listen to these next verses. It says, "For the land is full of adulterers, for because of swearing the land mourneth, the pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane, yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Wherefore their way shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness, so they shall be driven on." Let's jump down to verse number 15, and I'll back up here in a little bit. It says, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood." Wormwood, and make them drink the water of gall. Well, let's turn your Bibles to the book of Revelation, if you would, please. Book of Revelation, chapter number 8. And we'll get into just a little bit here of what is being talked about here with Just say it for me, folks. Don't let me keep embarrassing myself. No, Chad, keep embarrassing yourself. It keeps us awake. But here is another future event that's being talked about here in Scripture. And this is going to come in the book of Revelation, chapter number 8. And let's read verses number 10 through verse number 11. It says, "And a third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon a third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters, and the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died because of the waters, because they were made bitter." Now that's what's taking place back here in the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 23. It says, "Concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall." We see here in Revelation that the third of the water is going to be destroyed by the star God, why you let me talk about this subject this morning? Wormwood. And the bitterness that's going to come on out is going to, really, it's going to bring death upon the water. And if you are to partake of this water, what's going to happen? You're going to die as well. And that's not going to be a pleasant way to die, drinking water that you would thought would quench your thirst. And so God's talking about this here in chapter number 23 of Jeremiah. And I just want to show you the future event that is going to take place with this worm. And so we see here this here in Scripture. But we see a broken heart that is being talked about here in verse number 9. Now, this isn't describing the broken hearts that you and I feel. This is talking about a different broken heart. And this is talking about a heart of adulterous people who have turned their backs on their Savior, turned their backs on Jehovah. So this is in no comparison to the heart, the brokenness that we feel when we go through things. This is totally different. Again, because we're dealing with God here. And He is above us. His thoughts are above us. We can't understand Him at times because we're below Him. And so this is something that's totally different. It says, "For within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake." And we see a broken heart that is taking place here. Let me get in here. And the reason why the heart has been broken here is because of the adulterous nation this has become. This has become a land that is described here in verse number 14. It says, "I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah." Now, when it's talking about the word adultery here, we know what the word adultery means in our realm. We're talking about a woman or a man having an affair on one another. And this here, I believe, is talking about a nation who is having an adultery, having another relationship with false gods. They are committing a false relationship. Let me put it to you this way in simpler terms. They're cheating on God. They're cheating on God. That's just the way it is. And they have been caught red-handed. And they will be judged for this as well. And so this is the adulterous thing that has been talking about. And because of them cheating on God and because of them accepting a different culture than they're used to living, they've accepted a different culture. They wanted to go into a different way of living. And because of this culture, what would take place? Well, just imagine if this was us back in the day, we walk away from God. Just imagine your thought process right now. Just totally against God. And this here, again, is showing the wickedness of man's heart. We don't know each other's heart, do we? You don't know my heart, I don't know your heart, but I know who does, and that's God. And God knows your heart. And because of this adulterous thing that has come in their life, it has become a land that has brought evil into their land of dwelling. And so not only are they experiencing this, let's stop and park here for a little bit. They have children, do they not? And so what are the children at this point in time seeing? They're seeing their parents living this way. Again, I have harped on this so often, how it is important for us to live our lives according to God. Why? Because we have children that are watching us. They don't even have to be your own children, folks. It could be a total stranger, a total kid, a kid that you don't even know that's in this church, and they're examining you. And they're looking up to you for wisdom. They're looking up to you for guidance in their life. And we have a great responsibility that is upon our shoulders. And they're going to pick, and they're going to tear away at things. And we need to be a people that are faithful to God. Not a people that is wanting to have an adulterous relationship with the world, but to have a faithful relationship with God. And what goes on in verse number 11, it doesn't stop there with the people, but it says in verse number 11, it says, "For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord." These prophets and these priests, when you talk about the word profane, what is being said here is they have spread false teachers. They have spread false teachings to people. Again, which is why I say so often, we need to be careful on who is teaching our children. Just because someone comes in our church and they get saved, or they say that they're saved, we don't automatically release them to our kids. I think they need to be proven. I think they need to prove themselves to us. Why? Because they can get in God's word and they can pervert it and teach them falsely. And the last thing that we want to do is lead our children, our grandkids, our nephews and nieces astray from God. And so we need to be careful on putting in good teachers, ones who, I will say this, need to be faithful to the house of God. Need to be faithful to the house of God. And that's so important in our lives. And it doesn't matter what church you go to. You can go to a big church, you can go to a small church, you can go to a medium-sized church, and you'll have people grumble and you'll have people complain, well, why isn't pastor using such and such a person? Why isn't pastor using this person? Because it comes down to one thing, and that's faithfulness. We need to have faithful men, not only faithful men, but faithful women teaching God's word. How would you guys like it? I'm just getting on my own soapbox here. How would you guys like it if I was away for 4 weeks, just doing my own thing, and I come back the fifth week and teach you a class? That wouldn't set well with you, would it? You say, that little varmint, what does he think he's doing up there? That little creep needs to get out of that behind that pulpit. And I would agree with you, because I need to be faithful in teaching God's word. And so there are some things that I'm going to have to give up in my life to keep on teaching God's word. And so these men here are being described as false teachers. Again, we need to be careful on who we place, not only behind the pulpits, whether it comes from missionaries to evangelists. There's a pastor screens these folks. When a pastor was gone last year and I was taking care of those things and they called me, I would screen these folks because the last thing I want to do is put someone behind this pulpit that would steer you in the wrong direction. Because I believe it's important to be protecting the flock that God has assigned a man to. And so I don't want any false teachings come from God's word. And it says here in verse number 11, at the end of it, it says, I found her wickedness, saith the Lord. What's that saying? It goes back to what I just said a little bit ago. God knows the heart. God knows the individual. They were found out, and they were eventually exposed. Goes back to the verse. Be sure your sins will find you out. That's true. That's a fact. No matter how many times I thought I was getting away with something when I was growing up, it always came out. And the funny thing was, when Mom found out, I was like, how did you know? She's like, I got eyes in the back of my head. You guys ever been told that when you're growing up? I have eyes in the back of my head. I thought my mom was a weird lady. I'm thinking, where's those eyes at? Can I move that hair and see if there's eyes back there? I mean, I was a kid. I thought that was a true saying. But be sure your sins will find you out. When your sins are found out, you will be exposed. God knows their heart, and he's exposing them right now. And because of this, God will take action upon them, and they are not referred to as good people, because we read here in verse number 14 at the end of it, it says, they're all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Now, there's nothing good said about Sodom and Gomorrah. Nothing. What did God do in Scripture? He destroyed the city, didn't he? Matter of fact, he allowed Lot and his family to be saved. And as they were walking out, what happened to Lot's wife? She turned into a pillar of salt. I thought that was amazing. A pillar of salt, think about this for a minute. Right where she stood, just picture me. It gives you a better example. Just picture me as Lot's wife without long hair, please. And so I'm leaving the city with Lot, and I got my daughters with me, and all of a sudden, I turn around. The second I turn around, what happens? Right where I'm standing, I have become a pillar, 6'4", pillar of salt. That's what took place with Lot's wife. God hated that sin, that lifestyle that was taking place in Sodom and Gomorrah. And there, here, in this chapter 23, they are referred to as Sodom and as Gomorrah. It's not a compliment, folks. This is very degrading. And so let's move on from this. Verse number 23, we'll get to my last point here, is verse number 23. And I only have a few minutes here. It says, am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? I'm just going to close out with a few thoughts because I just saw the time here. Verse number 23. Folks, we need to understand a few things about God. God is near. God is near. If you're a child of his, God is near. God is not a God who is in a distant, faraway land. God is God, and he's here at your very beckoning call. And I tell you what, that is an amazing thing to think about. He's not just here for you, but he's here for me as well. He's here for Charlie. He's here for Julie. He's here for Bobby. We have great access to him. And I can't even begin to imagine the multitasking that takes place with God, because I couldn't do that. God is not distant from us. He is close by, and he is watching. He has watched this whole entire event take place with these people. He's watched the whole entire outcome. He's close by. The other thing that I take from this is we cannot hide our sins from him. And with this being said, God has had it up to here with false teaching. He's had it. He's had it with false teaching. And let me go back to what I said a little bit earlier. We need to be very careful on who we listen to on radio and on TV, because of this very reason. Man will falsely lead us for their own financial gain. They will falsely lead us for their own financial gain. And I don't even have to say any names. All you got to do is turn on television and you can see it for your own very eyes. But we get wrapped up. We get caught up in those things. Man, this guy's saying some great things. Be careful. be very careful. I listened to a guy for 2 to 3 years. I thought he's an outstanding guy. Until the day he came out and totally said the King James Bible is the wrong version. And I thought he's a great speaker. And I tuned him off. We need to be careful, folks. We need to watch who we're listening to and who we're talking to. Go back to what is being said in verse number one. We need to focus on God and not man. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you for your time and your word. Thank you, Lord, for the attentiveness of your people. I pray that you just bless in the next hour to come, and we ask it in your Son's name. Amen.